From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues this series in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This epistle sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll have a devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music.
This morning's text comes from Psalm 17 and verse 7. Marvelous loving kindness. When we give our hearts with our alms, we give well. But we must often plead to a failure in this respect. Not so our Master and our Lord. His favors are always performed with the love of his heart. He does not send to us the cold meat and the broken pieces from the table of his luxury, but he dips our morsel in his own dish and seasons our provisions with the spices of his fragrant affections. When he puts the golden tokens of his grace into our palms, he accompanies the gift with such a warm pressure of our hand that the manner of his giving is as precious as the boon itself. He will come into our houses upon his errands of kindness, and he will not act as some austere visitors do in the poor man's cottage, but he sits by our side, not despising our poverty, nor blaming our weakness. Beloved, with what smiles does he speak? What golden sentences drop from his gracious lips? What embraces of affection does he bestow upon us? If he had but given us farthings, his way of giving would have gilded them. But as it is, the costly alms are set in a golden basket by his pleasant carriage. It is impossible to doubt the sincerity of his charity, for there is a bleeding heart stamped upon the face of all his benefactions. He giveth liberally and upbraideth not. Not one hint that we are burdensome to him, not one cold look for his poor pensioners, but he rejoices in his mercy and presses us to his bosom while he is pouring out his life for us. There is a fragrance in his spikenard which nothing but his heart could produce. There is a sweetness in his honeycomb which could not be in it unless the very essence of his soul's affection had been mingled with it. Oh, the rare communion which such singular heartiness effecteth! May we continually taste and know the blessedness of it.
For thee, O Lord,
Are you looking for guidance and help in your study of the Bible? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in Paul's epistle to the Colossians. The current message is called A Worthy Goal for Every Year. And although it was preached on New Year's Day of 2006, its truths are applicable every day of every year. In chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, Paul prays for the Colossian believers, requesting that they might be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that they might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." In expounding this marvelous prayer, Dr. Cairns sets forth a series of goals which ought to characterize the life of every child of God. He has emphasized the need for progress in the Christian life. In addition, there is the seeking after the fullness which God desires for His people, such as fullness of assurance and fullness of joy. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
Paul is calling for progress. The whole tenor of the passage indicates change, growth, augmentation or increase. In fact, that word augment is simply the English version of one of the words that Paul is urging here as he speaks to the Colossians Christians. He's saying, this is the goal. Do not sit still. Do not stay where you are. In God's work, in Christian experience, you're either going onward or you're going backward. It's difficult to stand in the same place. You're either gaining ground or losing ground. And he's saying, we must make progress. If I could use an Old Testament text to summarize this, the goal that God has for the Colossians and for us is to fulfill what David said in the 92nd Psalm and verse 12. He said, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. That's a wonderful and multifaceted illustration. He will grow like the palm tree. The palm tree grows high and tall, and it bears fruit upward. The cedar, before it grows very far upward, it puts roots downward to a tremendous depth. And when it's got its roots deep, then it begins to grow to that majestic stature that has become proverbial. That's the goal for the people of God. And in order to progress toward it, Paul tells us, as he did the Ephesians in chapter 4:15, grow up into him, that is into Christ in all things. Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. He tells his readers again in the second epistle, almost at the end of it, chapter 3:18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll remember that some time ago I did a series of studies in 2 Peter chapter 1, where the apostle says, and this is a very, very significant and deep passage, starting at verse 5, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. He says you've got faith. You've been saved by grace through faith. Your faith is in Christ. Well, add to your faith. Or, as I pointed out, from your faith, produce. You see, faith is a productive thing. It's a beautiful passage that Peter writes there, and some things of the beauty are lost in translation. But he is speaking in terms that are almost musical. He's speaking in terms of a great symphony where you've got many elements of sound, but they are harmoniously blended together to produce a glory that no one sound in its own could produce. This is what he's saying of the Christian life. The full-orbed glory of the Christian life is a life that is constantly making progress. Now let's stop there for a minute. We're at the first day of 2006. How much progress have you made in your Christian life in the last year? In the last 5 years? Or 10 years? Have you been saved for years and you're still a baby Christian? Still reacting like a babe? Still taking milk like a babe? Almost inarticulate in prayer or in witness? Progress. It's not an option. It's the will of God. It's the goal that the Lord has set before us. The second goal that God has for us is fullness. And this is something that you must note as we read this passage. In verse 9, he says that ye may be, or might be, filled with the knowledge. And the word knowledge there is the full knowledge, or the mature knowledge, or the developed knowledge. So that you may be filled with the full knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Notice in verse 10 that he says that you're to be fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. And this is to be, as we walk worthy, unto all pleasing. I'll come back to that in due course. The all pleasing is pleasing God in all ways, in all areas, in all things. So let's put it all together. You've got being filled with the fullness of knowledge. You're to walk to please God in all and full areas of your life. You're to increase unto the, again, the full knowledge of God. There's a constant emphasis on fullness. Now, this is one of Paul's favorite terms. If you take your concordance and just look it up carefully, you'll find that both as a noun, he uses the word fullness, and as a verb, he will speak of being filled. And this is a constant theme with Paul. It was a burden on his heart. You see, for Paul, God's people were not supposed to live empty, defeated lives. God's people were not to be living on the fumes of a past experience. I fear that so often that's the way professing Christians live. We remember the way it used to be. There is a way to use history with advantage. There's a proper way to learn from what God has done in the past. But there's also a very foolish way, and that is to keep on hearkening back to the good old days as if we're just living in the past. There's nothing that will rob you of current joy and present usefulness more quickly than living in the past, because you're living on fumes from a past experience. How many of God's people are there? Are you there this morning? I've often given the example, those of you who have heard me mention this before will forgive it, for many others will not have known this. But I give the example of a man I knew when I was just a teenager. He was a trophy of grace. In his young days, he had been one of the wildest sinners in the city of Belfast. He was a hard-drinking, hard-living, hard-fighting man. There was only one person ever beat him in a fight. That was his mother. And man, he was scared of her. Those were days when you could make a little money to drink and gamble by fighting in the street. And each area had its champion. This is a man who fought professional fighters, and they couldn't beat him. The time I met him, his knuckles had been punched way back out of shape. I fear to figure out what the other fellow's face looked like, if his fists were that bad. Then God saved him. He had also been a great gambler. God saved him. The drink was gone. The street fighting was gone. The gambling was gone. And he became a man of that book. He studied it. Constantly studied it. With the book of God open, he was found on his knees. He began to grow in grace. He became a very able teacher of the Word of God. He became a bright, and shining witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. He prayed his family one by one to the kingdom of God. Everything was changed. Then he made the mistake of a lifetime for him. And he bought a television. You may say it hasn't ruined me, ruined him. And it ruined him because every Saturday for years, and I think this is probably still true in Britain, but every Saturday for years, Saturday afternoon television was given over to horse racing. I remember this man had been a bookie and a gambler. And he was fascinated. He never laid a bet. But every Saturday he calculated. Didn't matter what the bookies were saying. That's the horse, that's the horse, that's the horse. And what he would have laid on them if he had been betting. And then he would say at the end of the day, I would have made so many thousand or lost so much. And slowly but surely, he was talking the talk. He never went back into the world. When I remember him coming to church, you couldn't tell him anything. He never carried a Bible to church. He knew it. You talked to him and everything that he knew of God was 20 years old. Living on empty. The fumes of an empty gas tank. It's all he had. I fear that behind many a bland expression is an empty heart. A heart that can tell you how it used to know God, but no longer. God's people are not meant to live on empty. In Christ, this is Paul's expression here to this very Colossian church. In Christ, there is all fullness. All fullness. John tells us in chapter 1 of his gospel, verse 16, of his fullness of all we received. And grace upon grace, grace piling on top of grace. That's how he describes it, fullness. You remember what the psalmist said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now I know that's true of the eternal state, but it's true now. That's why when we get to the New Testament, it speaks of fullness regarding every area of Christian experience.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, Or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.